Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the good work of the Fairy Godmother Project this morning. Andy McConnell is in with us. Andy, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
It's nice to be here. Good morning.
You are wearing a shirt, and I saw on Facebook yesterday about today is the, is it the three-year anniversary of, Ryan's death?
Yeah, Ryan lost his battle 3 years ago today to DIPG.
And I saw that yesterday, and I've gotten to know Ryan's mom a little bit over the years, and I had heard his story, and then you came in wearing the shirt, and more and more it comes up, these anniversaries, unfortunately. But yeah. I do see that, and I think, wow, you know, over the years, the Fairy Godmother Project has really been able to have an impact on a lot of families.
Yeah, we really have. And one of the things I continue to learn from our families is the importance of acknowledging days like today. And we've been working on something with all of the group families we call our stargazers. And those are our families who have had a child pass away from cancer. And I put together this survey. I wanted the families to fill out just to give me more information about their experience with us, but also their experience in general. And I got a text from one of our moms, and it said how much she appreciated that we were doing that, because we will continue to remember her child long after everyone else in the world will. That's not exactly how she said it. Something to that effect. And I think that's one of the things that is so valuable about what we're doing is people start forgetting, and because they get into their own lives, just like with our families that are in treatment, you know, people think like, oh, they've got it. They've been doing this for a while. You know, same for our bereaved and for our current families. People make an assumption that because they appear like they're doing okay, they are, and they aren't. And so what we continue to do in both of those programs is validate for those families that it's okay, that it's still hard, and validate that we remember that it is, and doing things like, you know, acknowledging days like today.
That really is important, because like you say, you tend to think, well, you know, it's been a few years mm-hmm. now, they probably want to move forward, but
right.
this on this day especially, mm-hmm. this is all they're going to think about.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think that's interesting that I've also learned from, you know, everyone's experience is so very different. And that's why what we do as an organization is kind of complicated, because for one family, today being an anniversary can be devastating, whereas for another family, it could be tomorrow they wake up and it has nothing to do with any date or any anniversary. It's just they wake up and the pain of losing their child is more significant than it was the day before. And so, you know, what we're really trying to do for these families is create a community of other families, connecting them to one another. And we've been really doing a good job of that, I believe, and allowing them connection in a very different way than is out there in terms of grief support. And it's kind of been organic, and it's just about building friendship and building community. We just had our bereavement retreat a couple weeks ago at Great Wolf Lodge, where we invite all of our families who have lost a child to come and spend, it's about just over 24 hours, it's not that long. But it was really impactful, and it was really amazing to watch them connect and watch them, you know, openly share about their children, but then go back into normal conversation. I think that's the piece of it that is missing in day to day when, you know, you come across someone, not you, but the general you, comes across someone who's had a child die. There's this awkwardness of, oh my gosh, if I mention the child, what if it hurts them? If I don't mention the child, what if that hurts them? So there's awkwardness, and in this circle, there isn't. It's just like, let's talk about our kids, but then let's also talk about like something funny and hard and normal that we would talk about socially. And so they're able to move back and forth between their normal existence of having a child that died and also just being normal people. So it's a different experience for them than they get in other arenas.
Well, and you also make it to where a person can get involved to whatever level they want.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, we really try and be cognizant of the fact that not every family wants what we offer.
Yeah.
And that's the same with our other programs. You know, not every family wants that much engagement, but some of them do. A great example is we have our newest mom whose child passed away in November. She was so gung-ho and wanted to know every single single family, that she came into this group not knowing everyone, but she was like, I know who you are. I saw the video. Your child was this child, you know, and
yeah.
And that was really important for her. It was important for her to know that, you know, John and Leslie were Kaylee's parents. She wanted to know. She watched the video of Kaylee. She wanted to know all those things. And one of the things for me in observing that is knowing that that also speaks to the fact that for her, it's really important that everyone knows who her child was. And so being aware of that. In fact, she is volunteering for us now, and I have all of the kids in my office. I have all the photos of every child who's passed away. And I don't have hers yet because I haven't ordered it. And she was in the office the other day and kind of gave me a hard time about it. And, you know, like, yeah, I noticed you have everyone's except you know.
Right.
So that's in process. So that
move that. Let's get her daughter's
picture in there, which is interesting because not every family even initially wants that. But for her, it's very important. And so we need to play a part in that memory for her, that acknowledging her child and making sure that she's present in all of those things.
Well, and it is so interesting to see how everyone deals with it. And because I think of the Leahys and how the Kaylee's, the day of service is coming up.
Yes, it sure is. Yep.
And we're going to do a show on that on Friday. But
we're going to
make a big deal about that. And it's great to see the signs that go up.
Yes.
And a couple times a year, you remember what she did. And that continues to grow and get stronger and stronger.
Yeah. And it's so important for the families to have that thing. And it depends. Every family sort of has something that they're doing that works for their family. You know what I mean? It's like this mom I was just referring to, she, when her daughter died, she said, this is what I'm going to do with my grief. I'm going to raise money for DIPG research, and I'm going to volunteer my time to your organization. And she and her sister both went through the orientation, and they're now coming into the office probably once a week or every other week to do some work for us. So, but that's how she's handling her grief. And every family does it very differently, but they all have something very unique about how they're moving forward.
How can people get a hold of you if they want to, and whether it's that, whether they're wanting to just help out as a regular person, or they might be involved in some of this right now and just have never gotten in touch with Fairy Godmother Project?
Just going to our website, fairygodmotherproject.org. There's actually a tab that says Get Involved, and that's a way to get involved as a volunteer. And then if you are a family and needing support who's currently in treatment for pediatric cancer, there's another tab that allows them to click on that and then fill out a form. It goes right to us, and then we move forward with getting them support right away.
Andy McConnell here this morning. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fairy Godmother Project is our focus this morning. They deal with and help families with pediatric cancer in the area. Andy McConnell is here. I was just telling you that on your website, and you said you wrote this. I mean, this is really good.
I hope I really did, now that I'm taking credit for it.
It is really, really good. It's down kind of in the middle of the homepage, but it says the FGP difference. Unlike most pediatric cancer organizations, FGP's focus is on the parents. Our philosophy is that by alleviating the day-to-day stress through emotional and financial support, we're providing these caregivers with more time and less stress, allowing them to better support their families during these difficult times.
I thought, write that.
That is really good.
I know.
In two sentences, that
right.
says everything.
Mm-hmm. It does. And actually, I just recently wrote something else that was similar to that. Someone offered us, they wanted to donate something that was so not within our mission. It was like, would have helped a child, but it wasn't. Hmm. And I wrote back and I said, you know, that just doesn't align with our mission. We're really about non-medical support to the parents. And people always want to do for the kids. And I get it. Like, you know, kids are cute.
Right.
I mean, some are. No, I'm just kidding. So, but it's really about the parents for us. And it's really about, because that does matter. And as a mom, I know that when I am stressed, I mean, not that I stress because I am perfect as a parent and all that.
I always have seen that.
Yes, yes, I mean, you're always, my children are perfect.
You always see that. Yes, yeah. I think of that.
There's so much perfection in my life. But if hypothetically I had some stress, I would like someone to help me.
Yeah.
You know, so that I could be better and calmer and all those things. Because when financial stuff is weighing on somebody and you're worrying about, you know, like if you're stressed out, your behavior's different. And we really try to provide that support. And I think a lot about that. Just the little things that we're doing here and there. And I think sometimes how thankful I am that my job as the executive director is so fluid. And so my board is so phenomenal that whatever I'm doing, they're okay with. You know, for example, last Tuesday, I had, you know, my meeting with my staff. You know, we have part-time staff. And I was supposed to go bring lunch to one of our families who has a child that's in, like, hospice / palliative care. And I was bringing Chick-fil-A because he loves Chick-fil-A. And I sent the mom a text and I said, hey, you know, am I still coming by today? And she said, we're actually at the Stafford Hospital. And I was able to drop everything right in that moment and go to the hospital and sit with her in the ER for hours. And being able to do that, you know, like in theory, we could have volunteers that do that, but not every volunteer is free every day. And so it's so nice that my job allows for that, that the organization allows for that, that, you know, no one is saying I have to be sitting in the office for these hours, that I can go, all right, everybody, you have any major questions? I have got a 20-minute drive to Stafford Hospital. Call me or call me on the way back. But right now, this is what I need to be doing. And being able to sit there with that mom, you know, and help her navigate what was happening and just listen and be an advocate in some ways, you know, like push the questions she had when the doctor came in with what was a really vague response to what they were facing. And then when I left, I had contacted their lead volunteer and said, hey, I'm at the hospital with this family. And then their lead volunteer showed up within, you know, half an hour of me leaving and sat with them.
Wow.
Until they were transported up to D.C. and they ended up at a hospital stay for a couple of days in D.C. But just knowing that we're able to do that, and the mom was alone, her husband was at work, you know, she didn't have anyone else that was available to come sit with her, and but we can do that if it's asked, I think is really important, because who else does that?
Right. No, and something that easy.
Right. And it really was.
Going and sitting with someone.
Yes. And being able to be present. You know, that's one of the things that I'm thankful that I've learned over time is about, like, presence. It's not about having the right answer. It's not about saying the right things. It's not about all those things that people get caught up in their head about, like, oh, what if I say the wrong thing? I'm sure I've said the wrong thing 100 times.
But you're there.
But I'm there. And I've probably said the right thing, which is often nothing.
Yeah.
Which is surprising that I can actually be quiet. But I can, Ted.
Wow.
I know.
I would like to see that.
Oh, would you? Well, maybe I'll do that for the next 40 minutes. I'll sit here quietly.
Sit quiet.
Yeah, how
yes.
would that feel?
Wow.
Yeah.
Watch but, what you wish for.
Right, exactly. But it is, you know, and I think that that's the piece that's really valuable is being able to do that, to do those sort of things and be tuned into the families. You know, we had another mom who posted on there, like, Facebook page about their child, that they're facing some really tough stuff right now, lots of unanswered questions, and they're in a gray area. And so I just reached out to her and I just said, hey, you know, would you be available for coffee next week so that we can talk and I can listen? And so that's what we did. You know, we went and we met for coffee and she explained everything. And I think kind of what we do well and what we encourage our volunteers who are engaged with the families to do is no judgment. There's no judgment in the conversation. We don't get to have medical opinions.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing we really stress. And we also don't get to have spiritual or religious opinions. We don't say to families, I'm praying for you, unless a family says they need prayers. We're very cognizant of that, of respecting the individual's belief system and also their process. And I hope and I, fingers crossed, that our volunteers are respecting that, you know, but we really are cognizant of that. If someone is not a religious family or are not believers, we don't say that. We don't push faith would be good for you. You know, none of that. It's
right.
All about the individual family and what they're facing and respecting it.
Well, and I guess over the years, you've learned a lot just from all of these families.
And from therapy because of these families.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And self-discovery, you know, like figuring out what. I was just talking to Helen, who's been with FGP since the very beginning last night, about something else, but about, like, when I started FGP to current, and my motivation for starting FGP on the surface looked really selfless, but it wasn't. It was actually really selfish. Like I needed it. I needed to be doing for other people because I wasn't happy with myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, well, first of all, I was drowning in stay-at-home motherhood. Goodness, that's a lot to all those stay-at-home moms. Keep going.
Yeah.
Because it is hard work. And but intellectually, I was kind of drowning. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore about like diapers. I just didn't want to. And but I was, because that's what my existence was. And then this opportunity came around to help this family, and I needed something outside of my little existence to keep me going. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was my now ex-husband was deployed. And then I met this family right before he went on this deployment, and I made a decision that I was going to do everything I could to help them while he was deployed, just to kind of help myself, because it was such a hard time. And it just evolved. And through it, I've learned so much about hope. I've learned a lot about hope. There's hope in what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, even in the darkest times.
Yes.
You can see it.
We just had a meeting a couple weeks ago about, you know, like what FGP does, and someone brought up hope, and I've been really, that's really been weighing heavy on me. Like, I couldn't see the hope of it in the beginning, if that makes sense. All I could see was like, this isn't fair that these families are facing this. This is awful. This is hard. This is this and this and this. And then over time, I've really kind of evolved to realize that it is awful. But what we do when we come in and we provide help is we provide them a sense, we provide them some light. We provide them, there's all this darkness and all this scariness, and we bring a little bit of hope to their experience. We can't change the diagnosis, unfortunately. We can't change the outcome either, but we can give them a little hope no matter what their outcome is.
Yeah, no, because Lily was the first. Wasn't she the first one that you dealt with?
That was dying.
Yes.
Yeah, so we had other children pass, but we didn't have any programs in place. So we didn't really have an active involve. We weren't actively involved at that end. But with Lily's family, we were actively involved with their parent. Her parents invited us to be. And that completely shifted. That changed everything for me emotionally and personally and within FGP. It was this huge turning point. To see what that looked like, and to see, and I've said this a lot, but, you know, and there's quotes out there by important people, but all grief is love. That's all it is. It's this, like, unbelievable amount of love that there's no direction for anymore because the person's gone. And seeing that firsthand, and, like, seeing what that love looks like for parents when the child has passed, or when they're dying, when Lily was dying, I mean, I'll never get those images out of my head of Melanie and Eric. I just won't, you know. But it was impactful, and it changed how the direction of our organization. And I know that for her parents and for Lily, I mean, the impact that Lily will continue to have because I was exposed to that is just amazing. That ripple effect of helping other families face that time. But then also providing opportunities for our volunteers to become engaged with families in such an impactful way and become involved with one another is pretty powerful.
Well, because you've always said, you know, I haven't had to deal with this personally with your own family, but you have. I mean, you've been as close, whether it's, you know, Lily or Kaylee and others. You really have now acquired a lot of really firsthand knowledge that a lot of us don't have, but you've been able to help train volunteers and just made the organization that much stronger.
And one of the things recently, I was with a group of the moms at a coffee, and they were talking and sharing about, it was really interesting to be kind of, well, I was like facilitating it, you know, that they were all talking about when they, you know, they did this or that, you know, like when they cleaned the room out or if they had cleaned the room out yet and what it looked like. And it was so interesting to be sitting there and to watch these moms love each other through it, even though they don't know each other all that well, but like to be accepting of it, like, oh, we did it right away, but oh, I waited this long. No judgment at all in that. None at all. And then we were talking about how they were talking about how people always show up and, you know, like are boohooing. And I thought, oh, I boohoo sometimes. And I made some crack about it. And one of the moms said, yeah, but it's you, Andy, so it's okay. I was like, huh. I wonder why that is. And I think what it is that they all know that I'm grieving their children too.
Yeah.
With them. And I'm grieving it in a different way because for the majority, I didn't know the kids. And so my grief is like watching these people that you love so much grieve is so painful and hard. And I'm constantly doing that because I love all these families so much. And so I grieve their children in a different way than most people do. But I also try and keep it in check so that it isn't about me. You know, I never want them to feel like they have to comfort me. But Melanie, Lily's mom, often will come back to me when I say that kind of thing and say, yeah, but you were part of it. You were part of that experience. And, you know, I've said to them one time, because I typically see them the day of her birthday and then also the day that she passed away. And I always am kind of confused on that. Like, why am I part of that? And I'm an important part of that for them. Because I was there.
Yeah.
And so it's important that I be there. I spent the morning, last month, I spent the morning with them, the anniversary of her death, and just being with them, kind of just present. And they actually, she watches the funeral video, and I was quite happy that I could leave before that came on because I couldn't handle that. But for her, it's cathartic, and they watch it, and it's really important for them. But I don't think I could do that.
But it's so interesting we talk about days because I only knew Kaylee, and I only met her, was around her a couple of days.
I'll
always remember September 1st because that's when you brought her, and we did that show. And last year was the first year that September 1st had come on a weekend. So we didn't the day before, but
it seemed different.
It was.
It did. Well, and those dates do. And I think that's an interesting thing for you from an awareness standpoint. Like if it hits you and you remember that and it makes you remember her, imagine what it's like to be her parents.
Oh, I know.
And that's sort of where I am, as I always think, God, if I'm this sad and devastated today and that child wasn't mine, what is that like? And it makes you realize how every day has to be hard. I usually have like this kind of dark period. January and February are rough for us as an organization.
Because, you've got several.
So many. But it makes me realize, it makes me more cognizant of the fact that it is hard for these families every single day. And I feel like I'm lucky that it's only hard for me in this like window, because I'd make a joke all the time about the padded room that I'm going to eventually wind up in.
It is though, because it's just, every month almost.
Yes. And the larger we get, the more there are more and more and more dates, because it's a birthday rolls around and a birthday's hard on those families too. And then the anniversary is hard on those families. One of the questions I asked in that survey that I did is, are there other dates that are hard besides the anniversary of their child's passing and also the birthday? And then, those who have filled it out came back with, diagnosis day is hard. Another family, like the anniversary of their child's bone marrow transplant is hard. So there's so many, there's so many things that are hard. And every day is. And, one of the things that people say, someday I'm going to do a class on stop saying stupid things. It's just going to be like an overriding. Do you think people would pay to attend that?
I would.
Some extra money.
Yeah. I would, yeah.
Yeah, you would. And one of which is, you're so strong. And people say that to our current families that are facing it. They'd say it to the surviving families. And they say it to the bereaved families. The thing about that people don't realize is you're giving them a message that if they don't behave like they're strong, they're disappointing people.
Yeah.
And that's not what people mean when they say it, but it's what they hear.
Yeah,
Like, oh, gosh, now I have to pretend that I am, So then there's a sense of, gosh, if I don't behave at this level, then people think I'm not surviving. And the thing is they might not be, but now you've put them in a place where they have to pretend to be.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website, FairyGodmotherProject.org, to find out all of that. There are places to give, places to volunteer, just all kinds of ways that you can get involved. Annie McConnell here from the Fairy Godmother Project. We will continue on. They've got an event coming up soon. We'll talk about that, too, when we come back. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. 8:32 now. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell is here this morning with the Fairy Godmother Project. They deal with families with pediatric cancer in this area. FairyGodmotherProject.org. There's also a Facebook page. And boy, and a lot of the families I don't know, but I really appreciate on the Facebook page how you keep up to date the anniversaries. Mm-hmm. And you do really see. You do really see, and it just shows you that there are so many families around here and that are hurting and dealing with stuff.
Yeah, we have 15 families right now that are currently in treatment, and then we have 13 that are bereaved. So that's quite a few.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, especially for our little area.
Yeah, and just I still go back to, because we've known each other now 4 or 5 years.
It feels like 100.
It does, yes. And it just it unfortunately keeps growing. But that's you're here and you're taking care of a need, and so often so many of the parents, because I know that you. No one ever expects this to be them. That's always something that happens
right.
to them.
And you know that firsthand.
It, all of a sudden, you start going to doctor visits, and it creeps into your mind.
Right.
They're not finding an answer right. with a lot of little things, and you just think the little things are going to run out and pretty
bam.
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that happens to a lot of families. I know you've shared your experience with your son, and lots of times it is that. It's like it just appears to be like a cold, or it's this, or I'm not sure what it is. You know, one of our families, Jordan, her parents tell the story, and, you know, like she was diagnosed with strep and like on a Thursday or something, you know, and then like it wasn't going away. And, well, the doctor's like, well, we're going to give her a higher dose of medication. And then they started to realize that then she started vomiting. And it was – she only vomited when she turned her head a certain way. Mm. And it turned out to be a brain tumor.
Wow.
And, you know, but that's not the go-to by medical professionals, a child with cancer. You know, it's not where they go. Yeah. It's also not – they don't want to do tests to determine that, because that seems extreme. You're not going to go to the CT or an MRI because a kid has a headache. And so sometimes those things are missed for some time.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And leukemia often presents as a virus. They're just weaker. They're pale. They're this. They're that. Well, you don't go to, gosh, this child doesn't look well. We should do a CBC. I don't even know if that's what it's called.
Yeah, no.
You know, right?
Right.
So it's overlooked for an extended period. And I know your story about your son getting
tired.
Yeah.
He was tired, and my bones hurt, and I'm like, well, go to bed earlier. Or just
growing pains.
And it hits your heart.
Right. Yeah.
I've never forget sitting there with the doctor and sitting with the skyline of Richmond in the background when he said, your son has cancer. Children, people die from cancer, but we're going to try to. And I just all of a sudden the world just changes.
I bet it almost feels like you're suddenly in like a tunnel, like. Like,
oh, it was.
What is,
yeah. yeah.
And I remember one of the things you said that has, has come up repeatedly. It was like the first time I was here with you, is that the doctor said to you the first time we used the best treatment, frontline, everything you want that first time. But if it comes back, we've already used the best.
Yeah.
And that has really come to my head multiple times. Like, it makes me feel a little bit of panic for families.
I do when I hear that. When it's come back, and a lot of times if it's the same, or if I hear it's different, then they're like, you're okay, like, well then maybe
right.
But
like
you
with
do.
Bailey,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't matter. They couldn't get nothing could get rid of that leukemia. And we were talking about this in the break. Like people hear leukemia. Oh, well, at least it's leukemia.
And they know so much. It's not when you were a child.
Right. Well, yeah, guess what? That's not accurate, because there's actually no changes in 30 years for leukemia treatment. And not only that, but there's recent stuff that they're indicating that, you know, they make boys do 3 years of treatment. And now they're coming to the realization they're not even sure that it needs to be three. But there's so little studies on it that they're not sure. And then parents are like, oh, my gosh, am I putting these toxic medicines and things into my child's body for an extra year beyond what girls are doing? And now you're not even sure that that's really what we need to be doing. And it's really too bad. You know, it's really too bad that there's not more information. And a mom that I knew early on said, you know, well, leukemia is the lottery of pediatric cancer.
The lottery.
The lottery, right? And I was like, oh. And, you know, like, she was a person that I looked at, like, she knew everything, right? And then I read an article one time, and it was written by a mom whose child had leukemia and who died. And she alluded to the fact that everybody thought and kind of blew her off in some ways because it's just leukemia. At least it's leukemia. Yeah. It's still cancer.
Yeah.
You know? And it's still, like you said, at the time it was like 70%. Well, your child, it's 70%. That's great. No, it's not.
Oh, you just...
It doesn't matter if it's 95% cure.
No.
Someone's right. in that 5%. And so for a parent to know... You can be an optimist and you can go, oh, well, we got the one that's 95% cure rate. But you know what? It's still scary.
It's cancer.
It's still cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It isn't a cold. It's cancer. And so when people try and make people feel better by pointing that out, that stat out, yeah, you're trying to make them feel better, but you're really trying to make yourself feel better because you're uncomfortable with the idea that this person might be facing something like that with their child.
Yeah, and no matter what, yeah, and when you start dealing with the doctors and they start talking about these long words that you've never heard, and then you see the bags of stuff that have all kinds of warnings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen the big label on the container. Like,
yeah.
Don't touch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Don't put near pregnant women.
Yes.
And dispose of this way, and it does scare
you. You're like, but I'm putting it in my kid's body?
Yeah. And the doctors will tell. I mean, they told us that, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen years down. And so with my own son, even my son now, you worry about those kind of things.
Yeah, there are. I mean, that's one thing. We have a girl who's now a survivor, but she spoke at our education conference we had in the fall about her long-term effects in terms of executive functioning and processing and all those things that have been impacted because of the treatment. You think about that, and yes, we want to be able to save these kids' lives, of course.
Yeah.
But it isn't over when it's over.
No, osteoporosis is what my son is dealing with right now.
And he's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've said, you know, your bone structure has been compromised. You better take this.
And I did see an article that I can't remember where they're doing a lot more with younger kids of saving their fertility. They're taking eggs. You know, they're taking sperm because the impact of the It's pretty serious. And so they're freezing it.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about events. We just got sidetracked.
We did get sidetracked.
But we need to have a break, don't we?
We do.
Oh, so let's, I'm so good at this. Maybe I'm going to take over your job.
We can do this. Andy McConnell here for the Fairy Godmother Project. And you do have, I know you've got an author coming in a couple of weeks.
We do. We have, we'll have volunteer training next week on the 6th in the morning at the office. And we'll have another one later in March in the evening. So watch our Facebook page for that. And then we also have an evening with author Anna Wiston Donaldson, who she's not completely local, but she's from Vienna. Mm-hmm. And she had a child die. He drowned. There was a bad rainstorm, and he was outside playing in what was a very small creek that had turned into essentially a raging river.
Mm.
And he was taken by the water, and he died. And she wrote a beautiful book about it's a memoir of her loss and about her son, Jack. But she also wrote a book called A Hug from Heaven recently, a beautiful picture book. And we had someone actually gift them to us to give to all of our bereaved families. So she's coming and doing a talk about grief and resilience on March 7th. And it's going to be at Stafford Hospital. And it's going to be about an hour and a half, 7 p.m. We do still have some seats available, not too many. But if you go to our Facebook page, you can find that link. It's a free community event.
Okay.
And then we have our Carter's Crusaders Golf Tournament, which we have annually. This year it's on May 17th, and it's at Lee's Hill, which we're really excited about. It's a 2 p.m. tee time, and we're looking for sponsors and golfers for that. And the Stardust Ball is coming in September on the 13th. We have our presenting sponsor already. The Give Back Team is going to be our presenting sponsor. And we also have Simply Home as one of our platinum sponsors. And Jason and Heather Cohen are going to be silver sponsors. And Maribel Barker is going to be our bar sponsor. And we have other sponsorships available. We always offer them to our previous sponsors first.
Mm-hmm.
And then on March 1st, they open up, which is Friday, to the public. So...
And whenever tickets go on sale for the Stardust Ball, I mean, they They go quickly.
They do, and we're not even sure we're going to have any this year, to be honest.
Wow, okay.
Because we are going to a smaller venue. The exciting stuff is happening at the distillery. They're adding a bottling line.
Yeah.
And that's going to cut about 1,500 square feet, so they didn't have the space that we needed for the event. So we are moving back to the Silk Mill, but we can only have about 250 people there, and last year we had 330. And by the time we get sponsorships, we probably won't have that many tickets, if any.
Okay.
So if you want to go, sponsorship's the way to go to ensure that you'll get a seat.
And it's a big event, and I guess all the information is just go to fairygodmotherproject.org.
Yep, or our Facebook page is really good.
The Facebook page has a lot too.
It does. It's our go-to.
Yeah. So those are the events coming up. Andy McConnell here this morning. We will wrap this up when we come back. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. There's also a Facebook page. Just type Fairy Godmother Project and it'll come up, Fairy Godmother Project Fredericksburg or something like that. But it's easy to find, and you'll discover it in lots of ways to get involved. A couple more events that we missed the last time.
Well, the Community Foundation used to do the Day of Giving, and then they stopped a couple years ago. And
that's
so
right.
We continued ours every year. So we are doing ours this year on the 5th of June, and it's 24 hours of giving. Last year we raised somewhere between 25 and 30,000, I believe, in 24 hours. And we're doing it again this year. And this year we are actually teaming up with UMW has this class. It's Digital Design Workshop. And so we have a team of four kids, four seniors in college, four young women. And they are working on a project for us, and they're doing a social media plan for us, but they're also doing a campaign for us leading up to the Day of Giving.
Oh.
So they're going to do videos, they're going to do social media posts, and so they're going to be looking for people in the community. So if you're listening and you care about FGP, they're going to be looking for people to be interviewed and to do like little short videos that they're then going to compile and use for the social media campaign. So we're looking for donors to be involved, and you know, Ted Schubel. And
I was going to say, I can just see after we're done with this show, you're going to say,
Hey, by the way, Ted. I'm going to wait till the show's over. And then families and stuff like that. So they're going to be putting together this great campaign. So it's a good experience for them from the standpoint of, you know, it's actual hands-on.
And it gives you some material.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to also, they're going to do a 12-month social media plan for us, which is pretty cool. You know, we do well with social media, but they're going to, you know, kind of take it and run with it.
Yeah.
And so they are putting together some really interesting things to get it moving. So a really motivated group of women. It's a good group. So I think it'll be a great campaign.
So again, the Day of Giving is
June 5th.
June 5th.
Yes.
Is when that will take place.
Yeah.
And again, whether it's you go to the website and you'll see that you have all kinds of various levels. And when you talk about volunteering, as you were talking about, you know, some of the frontline volunteers who deal with these families, if that's not you, if you just think you plug them in, you're not putting someone in a situation of this isn't what I wanted to get into.
Oh,
you
goodness,
find
no.
where. Where yeah. their comfort level is.
And we also find what fits for them from the standpoint of what their personality is good for. You know, not every person's going to be the right person to be in the front line.
Yeah.
And so we have office opportunities, jobs in the office. We have things like delivering. We have a delivery team that delivers meals, delivers crafts, puts together crafts, all kinds of things. You know, we have leading up to funerals, we have groups that will come into the office and make different things and put different things together that we use for displays at the funerals and that kind of thing. And that a lot of them like because it doesn't get them right in the front line, but they do get to learn about these children that we're supporting. So there's all different ways to get involved. And we try and use people's skill sets as best we can. You know, some people are great at fundraising, some people aren't. And even within the fundraising committees that we have, you know, there's people, we just had a meeting last week and one woman's like, you know, I'm really not good at this, but I'm great at this. And I'm like, great, then that's how we're using you.
Yeah.
You want to run around and pick up donations? Great. You're all over it. But you want to be the person asking for donations? Great. Then we'll use you that way. So we really do try and I hope we do a good job of that. I feel like we do. And then we also try and engage volunteers in different ways. We just had a book club on Sunday where we had, you know, scheduled a book, and it was actually Anna Whiston Donaldson's book, and then mm-hmm. we had a conversation about it, and as a facilitator, I related it back to our families with FGP and how we can support them better in terms of what we learned from that book.
Or you can be just, especially with spring coming up, people, I know you cut people's lawns and do things like that.
Yeah, we have house projects that people can do. Yeah, there's all different things. There's so many ways to get involved, but you have to get involved. You have to fill out that application and get it moving before anything else. Like last time people were like, just let me know how I can help. And I'm like, we have a process. You have
right.
to be background checked. You have to mm-hmm. fill out the application. We need references, all those different things before we can engage you.
Well, it's great stuff that you do in the community.
Thank you.
And it's always, it really is. It's seriously always an honor to have you in to talk about it, because every time you come in, you've discovered something new.
Yeah. What,
you know, whether it's sitting with a family or whatever, you know, every situation, really every day, you learn something.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things I've learned is, this sounds terrible, but I'm going to say it anyway, show up and shut up. You don't need to say anything. You just, your presence alone for a friend or for one of these families we support, it's not your words that are going to matter. What they're going to remember is that you were just there.
Yeah, you cared enough to spend some time.
Yeah, you gave your time. And that's the biggest thing is like, you know, was it an inconvenience to sit for 3 hours for somebody with this family? No, it really wasn't. Because nothing else I could have been doing during the day was as important as that.
Yeah. No, I have. When I've done those kind of things, you just you walk out and you just think, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad I kept my mouth shut.
Right, because you're not going to say. Everybody wants to say that one sentence.
Yes.
And you've told me things. I mean, I could give you a book of things of where people came, and it was great that they drove down to Richmond to see me. But they always said something that it was just like, okay, well, why don't you just leave now?
And I've said dumb things, but I always circle back around. Like one time I said to one of our moms at her son's funeral, like what came out of my mouth was, you look beautiful. And afterward I was like, who says that to a mother? And I have since said to her, gosh, I said to her, Margaret, I'm so sorry. And she said, I don't even remember.
I was going to say, I would never remember.
And I was like, oh, well, good. Now I'm glad I've told you what a fool I was in that moment. But you do say things that you don't mean.
Yeah.
And she did look beautiful, but it didn't matter in that moment, but it just came out.
Show up and shut up. I like it.
That's what I'm going to put on the website.
Yeah. I like that. That really is good. Again, the author's coming in March 7th.
Yep.
And just go to Facebook.
7 p.m., yep. And you can just not buy your tickets, but like reserve your seat.
Yeah,
it's
sign
a free event.
FairyGodmotherProject.org. Andy McConnell, thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Yes, I hope so.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.